Welcome, listeners, to the podcast about Den Katenberg, a city on Mars. We are going to interview various experts to learn more about life on Mars. Now we will first talk to our first expert, James Rover, an engineer and second-generation citizen living in a Martian city, Den Katenberg. So, James, what do you do on the Red Planet?
Hi. Thanks very much for having me. So, I'm educated as a structural engineer, but life on Mars really forces you to be a generalist, so I also dabble a bit in the life support systems, agriculture, transport, and I had to brush up on my nuclear physics to help with the power supply.
That sounds like a lot. What does a typical work day look like for you?
Well, after breakfast, I meet up with my team, and we make a plan for the day. We usually start with a round of checkups along all the systems, just in case, making sure there are no leaks in the dome that protects us from the low pressure and the breathable atmosphere. The cave we built in our city is nice for structural integrity, but rather leaky. So, and then we check the heat generators because it gets mighty cold in here, especially at night. We fix the lamps in the vertical farms because those things tend to break. We haven't found a permanent solution for that yet. And after that, we have lunch, and then it's time for some research. I'm currently working on a new kind of bricks that are made of the Red Mars aggregate. I'm calling them Mars bars after the famous Terran candy, but my colleagues say the name won't stick.
Well, I hope your name gets approved. You briefly mentioned agriculture. What does that look like on Mars?
Yeah, good question, because well, on Mars, you can't grow food like you do on the surface of Earth. With all the cold and radiation and so on, all of our crops live underground with us, and we use special high-frequency lights. I say crops, but that may not be technically correct. We mostly grow various types of algae for food and a lot of cyanobacteria for the oxygen production, although multicellular plants are an active subject for research. Algae are just super easy to grow and surprisingly calorie-dense. Although not particularly tasty.
I suppose living on Mars has to come with its downsides. Hopefully the plant research has some promising results soon. But all those high energy lamps and heaters must give you a high electricity bill. How do you generate all that power?
Well, thankfully we don't have to pay for our electricity here. There are no energy companies. But to answer your how question, we have a modest nuclear fusion generator just outside the city. The low temperatures are very useful in naturally regulating the reactor core and cooling down the water that powers the turbines. Another advantage of having the generator on the surface instead of underground is that in the rare case of a meltdown, we don't destroy the entire city.
All right. Yes, that would be pretty bad. On another note, where did you get the water for the turbines and for drinking, washing and food production, of course? Many textbooks on Earth still say there is no water on the surface of Mars.
Well, yes, those textbooks are technically correct. Pressure on the Martian surface is far too low for water to be in liquid form, just ice and gas. Thankfully, we found the pressure deeper underground is more than suitable for water to flow. That's also one of my tasks, to check if the pumps are still working and if the water reservoirs are at acceptable levels. We try to recirculate most of our water that goes quite well so far, but there's room for improvement, of course.
I suppose there will always be room for improvement, and thank you very much for your time, and good luck with your research.
Thank you.
Within this part of the podcast, we want to focus on some social themes which are important in a city. The sub-themes we will discuss are social cohesion, selection for people to move to Mars, social equality, education, and healthcare. We will hear from it from our experts. I believe that we will first discuss the selection of which people can start a settlement on Mars. And we are finding out what are the findings and how this will look within the early stages of Den Katenberg.
Yes, well, selecting for who can go to Mars might come across as something quite dehumanizing or crude. but it is necessary due to the limited access of resources. We have obtained a lot of valuable knowledge from both Arno Wilders from Mars One Ventures and Artemis Westenberg from Explore Mars. During the talk with Artemis, she told us that because many people want to go, the selection will probably be fierce and the people who eventually go are suitable.
So will you mainly look at a criminal record or what are the requirements to go to Mars?
What we have learned from Arno is that we shouldn't only be focused on possible criminal records. They don't say that much. But also focus on mental well-being and who can handle a lot of work pressure. Also, according to Arno, it is important to keep in mind that there is a variety needed for of people who have different skills and qualities, especially within the first stages.
And what would be important aspects to keep in mind when ensuring social cohesion and cultural development within your city?
Well, after selecting the first citizens of our city, it is essential to keep in mind that all these citizens come from a different cultural background on Earth. Because the city on Mars is isolated from these other cultural spaces, it might result in a new culture being formed. Shozik discusses how religion may contribute to the development of the Martian culture. To organize this in a smooth way, it is important to create spaces where people can meet, exchange ideas, and reform their culture. As Walker and Sherwood discuss the importance of the accessibility of these places, it is preferred to organize this openly in places such as schools, parks, or other public spaces instead of venues or art galleries. This ensures the accessibility for everyone, which is also beneficial for social equality and, for example, community building.
So you discuss social equality. Is there a link between social equality and social cohesion?
Well, Ansby discusses how social inequality is at the root of conflict due to polarizations between groups. He speaks of this as horizontal inequality or inequalities that are linked with identity-based cleavages, economic as well as ethnic. This can be linked to capitalism since we live in a capitalist world economy, according to Wallerstein's world system theory. Therefore, we think that capitalism wouldn't be the most beneficial system for a city on Mars, especially within the first stages. This is because of the limited resources and the necessity for people to cooperate to use these resources.
So what kind of system would be most beneficial?
Well, to be honest, it is quite unsure which system would be most beneficial because most economic systems which we have witnessed on Earth have their problems. Capitalism, for example, ensures social inequality, while communism can be a threat to a free economy which can grow and individual freedom. Therefore, we think that a combination of socialism and a direct democracy might be most beneficial. Different researchers described that an experiment in 215 Afghan villages shows that direct democracy improves citizens' perceptions of the economy and politics, and it decreases the influence of a small elite group. This is mostly sure for the beginning stages.
All right, so what will the educational system look like?
As we have described earlier during the selection process, it is essential for a well-functioning city to have different types of professionals. This results in the need for an educational system which ensures to challenge and to teach to students with different skill sets. The first generation settlers will need to have more technical skills and will work more technical sectors and social sectors like healthcare or education. However, as the community grows, there will be more diversity on kinds of employment, such as corporate employment. This is because only in the later stages of development of the city, there will be a place for corporate competition and corporate development. This means that in earlier stages, education will also be mostly focused on technical and social skills.
And now we're moving on to healthcare. And what are aspects to keep in mind while designing the healthcare system within your city?
Well, it is important to think about the way we want and need to form our healthcare system in a city on Mars. During the conversation we had with Arno Wilders, it became clear to us at the beginning, we can't have a healthcare system like we are used to in, for example, the Netherlands. Resources and technical options are limited and must be divided carefully. Mossadegraad describes that a healthcare system of good quality is essential for the maintenance of a healthy population. For a city on Mars to thrive, the quality of the healthcare must be ensured, especially for the first generations. Don Abedian distinguishes the quality in technical quality, interpersonal quality, and amenities.
So what does this mean?
Well, this means that it is crucial to think about what healthcare is most important and what is mostly needed for the first residents within the city. However, there has already been research on what effects in health there are on astronauts in long-duration space travel. To research this, we can get a good insight in what healthcare is essential on Mars and which isn't.
Well, thank you for your time and thank you for your insights on the social theme of Ten Katenberg. So now we will have an interview with an expert who helps govern the colony of Mars. She will give us more insight into the way in which Mars is governed and how the government is involved in the health and education system. Firstly, let's start with the political system. What form of governance do you currently have on Mars?
Yeah, so currently we have a mix of a direct and indirect democracy. In the starting phase, we mostly adapted elements of the direct democracy because the number of citizens was relatively small. And this was more efficient as there was no need for, to have multiple representatives. Eventually, when we expand, we think it is best to take elements from both direct and indirect democracy.
Interesting. Why are you adapting this mixed form of governance?
We have noticed that there are both advantages and disadvantages to a direct democracy and indirect democracy. And depending on the situation, it is better to opt for one or the other. For instance, a direct democracy can be inefficient for large-scale issues and has a long decision-making process because you would need the participation and opinion of every citizen. In addition, not all citizens might grasp the complexity of all issues. So we think that for large-scale and complex issues that apply to the whole community of Mars, it will be more efficient to adopt forms of indirect democracy and let citizens elect representatives to represent their interests on complex topics. On the other hand, in an indirect democracy, there is the possibility of corruption, exclusion of minorities. And we want to address this through forms of direct democracy, because it allows citizens to participate directly in the decision-making process. So we think that for smaller scale issues, we want to use referendum as an instrument to vote and get a better understanding of citizens' perspectives. Also, participatory rights can be implemented to ensure that the citizens' voices can be heard and that they will have some extent of influence over the political decision makers. So we think that this mixed system can help give citizens the opportunity to actively engage in important decision-making processes, while at the same time having an efficient system to pass or create new laws.
All right. And what is your view on the education and health system?
And the government will be more involved in providing high-quality education and affordable healthcare. These are important to develop within our new colony because many of the problems in education these days are linked to underinvestments. So this is something we as a government should be aware of. We and all other organizations involved have as primary intention to promote, restore and maintain the public health. This includes efforts to influence the determinants of health as well as more direct health improving activities. So basically, this is what we will focus on in the upcoming years in Ten Katenberg.
All right. Thank you for sharing the political situation on Ten Katenberg. This is the end of this podcast, and we have talked to various experts involved in the creation of the city of Ten Katenberg on Mars. I want to thank all the experts for explaining the three aspects of the city to us. We have now gained a better understanding of what life is like on Mars.
Thank you for listening.